nice. I don't have to stare at a camera and stare at you. You look good. You look real good. Happy Father's Day. And if you didn't have a good dad, or maybe you didn't even know your dad, guess what? As Jason said, you have a loving father who will never let you down, who will never forsake you. So I want to start with a question today. We've been doing that. We've been asking questions for us to discuss, for us to think about, and maybe as you go back and work with your micro church or small group, you can talk about this. But what is your favorite characteristic of Jesus? So I'm going to ask you that. Someone let me know. If you have an answer, let me know. What is your favorite characteristic or attribute of Jesus? Grace. All right. What? Wisdom. Love. Love. That's what we sing about. It's His love and how He takes care of us. Certainly, grace is a part of love. And in His wisdom, He gives us this love. And He shares it with us. I want us to think about that as we move forward throughout today. And I just wonder at times, why it is so hard to show love. Like, I can say I love people. Like, I love my family, right? And this is kind of a crazy thing I'll share with you. I blew this message I'm about to preach. I blew it last night. So just know I'm not up here judging anyone, okay? I want to show love. I've been preparing all week. I worked really hard. I know God's like, you show love. It's like, love. And that's what it's about. It's love. And then I go home and I blow it with one of my kids. And so, I was very angry with them. But in my defense, and I have apologized, and he has apologized, but he came home and he said, hey, I've got some sort of disorder or problem, and I think I got it from you, Dad. And he's doing this while he's on the internet talking to who knows who out there in the internet world. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Stop talking about it, you know. And so this is going out. I still don't know what the disorder is. I guess we'll find out later today as we process what happened. But last week we talked about this. And it is that following Jesus means only following Jesus. That's what when we take the Lord's Supper, we're saying we are committed to Him the same way He has committed us. And maybe a better way of saying it is not really committed, but we're surrendered to. Because oftentimes my commitment falls. Oftentimes I do blow it with my kids or my wife or with my neighbor or with people that I'm in disagreement with, maybe at the office, maybe it's family reunions, whatever it is. I do blow it. And so it's not necessarily my commitment that keeps me to Christ, but my surrender to Him, to allow Him to come in and work in my heart, allow Him to come in and change me. And that's my prayer today, is that He would indeed do that, that He would come in and change our lives. So today we're going to discover that following Jesus means loving as Jesus loved. Loving as Jesus loved. Our world has a definition of love. People are out there saying right now, all we need is more love. But they don't know how to love. I mean, I barely know how to love. And so what we've got to learn is, how do we love as Jesus loved? What does really that mean? And I think this applies in our homes, certainly today's Father's Day. It applies to everyone. But as fathers, we need to lead out in what it means to love. Because sometimes we get this idea of love as being mushy and not for us, and we got to be macho and tough and mean. And no, I would say the most powerful, actually, I don't even have to say it, he said it, the most powerful person in the anything is Jesus, and He demonstrated love perfectly. And so just think about that. The power of Christ is what allows us to love others. So when we're loving people, we're actually showing strength in Christ. We're showing His strength. But the question is, do you believe the statement is true that following Jesus means loving as Jesus loved? Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that I cannot love as Jesus loved and still follow Him? Can I not really care about others and sacrifice for them and follow Him? And if you do believe it's true, what are the implications for your life? And if you don't believe it's true, what are the implications for your life? Well, today, Peter's going to answer these questions. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3. Last week, we saw Peter preaching to people out of Acts. We're still in the series of Acts, but we're going to Peter to find out exactly how it is we are supposed to live, especially even during these troubling times that we're in today. Because all of us have opinions. All of us want to state our opinions, at least I do. Like, I literally have an opinion on absolutely everything. I think my opinions are right. Like, and if they weren't, I would have changed them already. So I believe my opinion's right. I want to share it with everyone. I send Trump. I send Obama. I send McConnell. I send them emails. They never reply. I try to tweet them. They don't reply. I try to text. They don't reply. But I can fix the issues. I can fix my neighbor's issues. I can fix your issues. I have an opinion. And you have the same opinions. You share your opinions and we share. But what happens is, when we share our opinions are based upon the collective whole of our lives. When there's some total. Our opinions are dictated through the narrative in which we see the world, the lens through which we see the world. And all of your past, and all of your experiences, and all of your thoughts play into the opinions that you have. Well, the problem is we all have different pasts. We all have different inputs. We all kind of have different narratives, so to speak. And so when we share our opinions, basically what we're doing is we're saying, the way you grew up, the way what happened to you, your experience, or the way you're doing that is wrong, let me tell you, this is what's right. And it's really a judgmental attitude, even though we're not meaning to. Sharing our opinions. Well, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, and here's the context. Peter's writing to non-Jewish Christians, so Gentiles. The Gentiles are scattered all throughout what was Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And he's writing to the churches, and they're experiencing some persecution. They're experiencing some difficulty living out their Christian life. There was slave and master relationships. There were family relationships, husband and wife relationships. There were family, father, sons, that sort of, those kind of relationships. There was relationships that were between the church and the government. And all of these were kind of like, how is it that I'm supposed to follow Jesus in this time? How is it that we're to do that? And as a matter of fact, Peter's actually preparing them. It had gotten a little bad at this point, but it's going to get a lot worse down throughout the time. And so the basic idea of his book is that since we're following Jesus Christ, we've got to represent Him accurately in our holiness, in our personal holiness, in our mission in this world, and in our submission to authority that He's placed over us. And ultimately, that is God. And so, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8 is where we're going to pick up. I'm going to read this one verse. It says, "Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, and humble." Who is this written to? Let's leave it on the screen. Who is this written to? Written to believers. How many believers? All of you. See that? It's written to who? All of you. That includes us. If you're a Christ follower today, He's writing this to us. And He gives five characteristics here. He's telling us to be it. Not just to let it overcome us. To be these things. Not to act like it. Not to try to do it, but to be. And these five characteristics, kind of the first one, which is like-minded, goes with the last one, which is humble. And so he tells us to be like-minded. That means to be harmonious. It means to not be divisive. To not always be sharing our opinions and how everyone else is wrong and how we have the answers. To be harmonious. Because it really doesn't matter what my answer is. Whose answer matters is the Lord's. And so we kind of saw that last week. And so be harmonious. Don't be so divisive. As Christ's followers, we are to work on peace, as we'll see in a moment. And that goes with being humble. You see, you're never going to be like-minded as long as you think you know more than everyone else. You're never going to be like-minded as long as you think you're better than other people. You're never going to love as Jesus loved as long as we put ourselves above anyone else. And that's not Jesus' example. You can read in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus' example, even though He could have stayed in heaven, even though He is God, even though He created everything, He humbled Himself and took on the form of a servant, became obedient even to the point of death. That's who we're following. That's who we're looking to. Humble. Like-mindedness. What opinions, what personal opinions, I ask myself this, what personal opinions of mine are disrupting harmony with other people? What personal opinions do I have that's disrupting, what personal opinions do you have that's disrupting harmony in your relationships? Could be a family relationship, could be a church relationship, could be a worldly relationship, like, you know, somebody, your neighbor, somebody you work with, a coworker, maybe somebody that you've known for a long time. What opinions are tearing down the relationship rather than building it up? Christ is the hallmark, one of the hallmarks of the Christian, that we're going to be unified. And we allow our opinions about absolutely everything, because all of us have one on everything, to divide us. And if we're divided here, how are we ever going to reach people in the world? And so he's talking to us. He's talking to believers. See, God doesn't ask you to be better than everyone else. He commands us to be more humble than everyone else. And in the church, especially in the church, we've got to thinking that we've got to be better than everyone else. Because we want to be holy. Jesus said, be holy for I'm holy, so we're trying to be holy. But what that does in our heads is make us think that we're better than everyone else when really we're not. It's God working in us and through us that we have any hope at all. He doesn't command us to be better. He commands us to be more humble, more submitted to Him, less rebellious, more harmonious, if you will. The second characteristic and the fourth characteristic go together, and those are to be sympathetic and compassionate. So sympathetic means you can put yourself in someone else's shoes. And this is a command for us to be sympathetic people. We are sympathetic people. That is, we're trying to understand. We're doing our best to put ourselves in other people's shoes so that we can know what's happening with them. So that we don't think we're better than them. We kind of put, you know, they say, you don't know what's going on in somebody's life until you walk a mile in their shoes. You don't know. And it goes back to what I was just saying. Our opinions are based upon our background. Everyone else has their own background. They have their own things they're fighting through. They have their own hang-ups from family relationships. They have their own disappointments, their own insecurities, their own successes. And all of that is what they're dealing with. And until we can understand them, how dare we try to pass judgment or our opinion, somehow communicate that they are wrong. Trust God. You'll see that next week. When the believers face trouble, they trust a sovereign God. And sympathetic is putting yourself in your shoes, but compassionate goes with it. See, sympathy alone is good, but it's not quite complete. It takes compassion. You can have sympathy on someone. Oh man, that's tough. I feel sorry for you. Better luck next time. But if you have compassion, you're going to put feet on that sympathy. Compassion means you're going to show love. Compassion means you're going to do something about it. Something about your sympathy. You're not just going to feel bad. You're not going to just feel sorry. You're actually going to do something. That's what Jesus said. He would look, He would have sympathy, He would have pity, but it would say He would have compassion on people, and He would feed them, He would teach them, He would heal them, He would save them, He would minister to them. Compassion. Compassion compels action. And these are commands. We are to be this. Like, these are the characteristics of our lives because of the characteristics of Christ's life. And if we're following Him, then we're walking after Him. We're becoming like He was. We call it Christ-likeness. But right in the middle of this, so the third characteristic, right in the middle, it's almost kind of like a pyramid or bookends. The central piece of this is the third characteristic, and it's kind of at the top, and it is all by itself. There's nothing else there. It just stands alone, and it is to love one another. To love one another. It is that all of these things that we're talking about not only come from a place of love, but they also demonstrate love. They work together. is that I can't say I love someone, I really love them, if I think I'm better than them and I'm prideful and arrogant over them. I can't really love someone if I have no sympathy or no compassion, demonstrate that in any way. I can't really say that. I can say it with my mouth, but I'm just a hypocrite. And honestly, that's the way the world thinks about the church. We say a lot of things with our mouths, but somehow we haven't figured out how to make it happen with our hands and feet. We haven't demonstrated the love that we're supposed to have. Following Jesus means loving one another. Share a few verses. John 13:34. Jesus says, "A new command I give you." You ready? This is from Jesus. Not that it makes a difference. It's all God's Word. But love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's the command. Do I believe that following Jesus means loving others as Jesus loved? Because I don't want to love some people the way Jesus loved. Right? I mean, I don't want to. They deserve what they're getting. Isn't that what we say? They deserve it. If they would make the decisions I would make, they would not be in that place. Do not want to love people the way Jesus loved. Well, let's just think about Jesus' love for just a minute. Just a minute. Scripture says that we were enemies with God. In our lost state, if you're a believer, you were an enemy with God. You might not have known it, but you were, because your sin was rebellion and you were an enemy of God. Everything you did was tainted by your separation and sin. It's true. I mean, no one had to teach me to lie or to overeat. Like, they don't have a kindergarten class, an hour, to teach you how to lie and how to steal cookies from your grandmother's house. That just comes naturally, right? No one does that. Jesus' love is a love such that He comes and dies. He comes and pays for. He comes and does whatever is necessary, even to the point of death, to win back the relationship, to forgive you, to know you, to help you, to love you. Go on to verse 35 there in John. He says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So many times we just struggle with doubting salvation. People just struggle with doubting salvation. And this sermon's not about that. But there's a way in which you can know and see God working in your life and know that the Holy Spirit is upon you. It's this here. And not just you yourself, but everyone else can see it too. And that is, you have love for one another. And you, at this point, is the church. This is us, the church, that we love one another, that we do whatever is required to keep peace, and not just to keep it, but then to go and make it, even if it means personal sacrifice, doing things that we don't particularly like. It means helping someone in need, even though we're like, well, they just keep messing up over and over. Well, I keep messing up over and over, and Jesus keeps forgiving me. How many times do I have to tell my kid I'm sorry? How many times I had to go, God, please forgive me. I don't know why. I really want to be different, but I don't know why yet that I'm not. But I really want to be. Will you please forgive me again? And He does, right? I mean, that's our hope. He does. How dare I withhold forgiveness and love from someone who has messed up again and again and again? It's not very Christ-like. Love is the calling card of Jesus. Love is the calling card of the gospel, or the good news of salvation. That is forgiveness of sin through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And love must become the calling card of Christ's followers. In 1 John 4:19, Jesus insults, on the contrary, On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because, okay, so this is telling us why. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. What? What? I can't fight back. I can't stand up for my rights. I mean, someone's insulted me. Someone's cursed me. Someone's done something bad to me. I can't just hit them back. Can't just like get them with this, you know, with this statement, this zinger. I can't just embarrass them a little bit. What does Jesus say? Not in the kingdom of God. If you're a Christ follower, you're in the kingdom of God. If someone slaps you on the face, you give them another side. You say, well, wait a minute, that's not the Christianity I signed up for. But it's the Christianity you're in. It's what we're doing to follow Him. He says, this is the way we live. And so there's some do's and do nots. You know, that's what the church is all about, do's and do nots. So here we go. Do not repay evil with evil. Do not insult with insult. Repay insult with insult. So how do you defend yourself? Jesus, you have no idea. How are we supposed to defend ourselves? Jesus says, oh, I don't have an idea. I don't have an idea. He said, I went around preaching good news, preaching salvation, healing people everywhere I could go, telling them that I'm the Christ. I'm going to actually make a way for them to have forgiveness of sins and restored to the Father. And what do? They kill me. I think I know a little bit about what you're going through. I think I understand, and you need to trust me. I know it doesn't seem right. I know in our minds it doesn't seem right, but here's the way I want you to respond. Here's the way I want you to defend yourself with blessing. What? Bless those who curse me? Bless those who are doing evil to me? Jesus is like, yeah. That's the way. That's the way of the cross. That's what it means to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That is what it means. Why? Why? Why is that? Why? Because we realize we were cursing Him. We were insulting Him. We were enemies with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And what did He do? He blessed us. And if we're following Him, our lives look like His. This is the principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7 and 10 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in what? Doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those that belong in the household of faith. Isn't that powerful? It's like, when I bless others, I'm really... like, we're all selfish. We get that, right? Human beings, we're selfish. Especially Western Americans. We're like, we're the epitome of... we're the poster children for selfishness. Even in the church. We choose our churches based on our personal likes and dislikes. It's selfishness. We all do it. This is the one place you can actually be selfish. Because God tied your serving others, especially those that don't deserve it, to your blessing. You want to be blessed? Lay down your life. You want to be blessed? Bless those who curse you and insult you. You want to be blessed? Follow the way of Jesus. Why? Why would we ever repay evil with blessing? One, it's our calling. You're called to this. If you're a believer, your calling in life changed from getting rich, getting popular, getting girls, getting guys, whatever it was, popularity, it changed. Your calling in life changed from all of those things that the world says is right to blessing evil people. Man, that's tough. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His love towards us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While people are still evil, we lay down our lives for them. While they're still jerks, we're blessing them. While it's going on, we are laying down our lives because we're showing them Jesus Christ when we do so. But we want to fight for our own rights. Jesus gave us the righteousness that was rightfully His, gave you the righteousness that was rightfully His, so that you could escape the judgment that was rightfully yours. And He calls us now to share the same thing, that we give our lives. We give our lives to those who deserve judgment. We give our lives to help them. We give our lives to bless them so that hopefully they will understand there's something more to this world than the lies that they believed, because Satan is a liar. And you look at all the division in the world right now, it's because of lies. Lies that people have believed. All Satan has to do to destroy a person is get them to believe a lie when they're a young boy or girl. And then he sits back and watches. And their life just falls apart. Their life is just plagued with turmoil. Moving on. Well, let's ask this question. Who in your life deserves your wrath and your insults? Who in your life deserves your anger, your bitterness, your wrath, and your insults? Who in your life? You got that person? You got them? Give them Jesus. It's going to be hard. It hurts. You don't know what they did. I don't. But you'll never be more like Jesus Christ than when you are trying to love people that don't deserve it. Never. Verses 10 through 12. Whoever would love life and see good days, I think this is, he's saying heaven, must keep their tongue from evil, their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Now he's talking to believers. He's not saying that you got to do these things to be right with God. His gift to us is free. We accept it. We surrender our lives to Him, accept His forgiveness. He gives it. But the result of truly, truly surrendering our lives is what we're reading here. And the Lord does that in us over time. And He says, so here's what we need to do. Do good. Must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayers. Following Jesus means representing Him, not myself. Seeking peace for people, not the vengeance that I want. In our speech, in our actions, in our ambitions, in everything that we do, we are to promote, to represent Jesus, not ourselves. And then today, when everyone's spouting off in an opinion that they think is going to fix something, or that they think needs to be done, or they think some other group needs to do, or some other person needs to do, what God calls us to is to stop sharing our opinion and start sharing His. And His opinion is He can save us. He can help you. He has the truth while Satan has the lies. He has forgiveness. He has freedom. We want freedom. It comes through Christ. We sing about it. Freedom comes through Christ. Following Jesus means that I am His witness. I am His witness. I'm His witness. Following Christ means that you are His witness. He goes down in verses 14 and 15. Or actually 15 and 16. It says this, in Christ, rather than be afraid, I skipped a few verses, rather than be afraid, revere Christ as Lord. That is, set Him apart in your heart as Lord. Set Christ apart. He is your only God, your King, your Lord. And then always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. But right now, I listen to some of us, and I listen even to myself, and it's like, where's the hope? Where's the love? I don't see much hope and love in the Christian community. Even if this is the end of the days, and like Jesus is going to come back, there's a reason to have hope, because that's where your salvation is. There's a reason to show love, because if He is coming back, if this is the end, if your way of life is completely over, and so is everyone else's, that means they're going to be looking for help. Their help comes from the Lord, not from man. Not from man. He says, but do it with gentleness and respect. Keep a clear conscience. Don't be sinning against people, so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. They will know, man, this person is really loving me. It'll change their heart. It'll change their heart. Following Jesus means following as Jesus led. Following Jesus means loving as Jesus does. Why is it so hard to do? So here's the questions for us today, real quickly. I'm going to leave it with you. I trust the Holy Spirit's working in your heart. Please, please grasp what we're saying here today. What needs to happen in your heart? What does God need to do in your life? What do you need from Jesus Christ, from Him, to live like this? To love people that don't deserve it. To be harmonious and humble. To be sympathetic and compassionate. To love. Let's pray. Father God, we just bow before You right now. Lord, we ask, we know Your Spirit is working. Lord, we see that all that's going on, all the chaos in the world, that there's only one truth and one answer, one way to go, and that's Your way. And Lord, You have put us here as ambassadors of Your reconciliation. That is, ambassadors of Your peace, ambassadors of Your love, ambassadors of Your forgiveness. Lord, help us not join in into the fight, but Lord, help us to call people out of the fight into Your peace, into Your love, into Your forgiveness. I pray, Lord, that whatever's going on in our hearts that are preventing us from loving one another inside the church and loving even people outside the church, Lord, that is what we would ask from You today, and we would receive it. The power of Your Holy Spirit. And in Your name we pray. Amen.